Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome to another episode, the fourth installment of Razor Sharp Sports. I'm your humble, gracious, and highly favored host, Marcus Razor. Summer is over. Fall is here. Weather in the mid-60s. It's hoodie season, flannel season. It's nippy outside in the morning. My car windows are foggy when I hop in. I had to go to work the other day and I had to get off right before the expressway because I had to clear my passenger side mirror. A lot to get into the sports world today, and I would be remiss. Some people would say disrespectful. Hell, Joe Biden told y'all, you ain't black if you don't vote for him. Well, I wouldn't be a Chicagoan if I didn't start here. On Thursday, September 26th, God willing, I slowly opened my eyes. I wiped the crust from my eyes. Then I proceeded to do what I do every morning. Yep, you guessed it. Ran straight to Twitter. One-time MVP. The youngest ever still. Three-time NBA All-Star. One-time All-NBA First Team. Rookie of the Year. All-NBA Rookie First Team. Former McDonald's All-American. Former Mr. Basketball of Illinois. Two-time FIBA World Cup gold medalist. One of my idols, Derrick Rose, were retired from the National Basketball Association. It was a sad day for me, I'm not gonna lie. I haven't felt like this since Kobe died. Finished with 12,573 points, 2,324 rebounds, 3,770 assists. Finished with a career average of 17.4 points per game, 3.2 rebounds, and 5.2 assists per game. I don't have to tell Chicagoans, hell, fans of basketball, what Derrick Rose meant to the sport. He might not be a Hall of Famer, but you can't tell the story of basketball without Derrick Rose. How him and Russell Westbrook changed the game, the landscape of how we look out at point guards, what the point guard's job is. I remember his rookie season, first playoff series ever, went to TD Garden. One of the greatest performances you will ever see, not just from a rookie, from an NBA basketball player in general. 36 points, 11 assists, and I'm talking about some tough, tough buckets at the end in TD Garden, in Boston. Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Rajon Rondo, Kendrick Perkins. We talking 2-3 years removed from an NBA championship when they were first assembled, still in their prime, still giving LeBron James hell. And he took that team to 7 games in his rookie year. 2 years later, he goes on to win MVP, the youngest ever, still. One of the greatest seasons I've ever witnessed in my life. Call me biased, I don't care. I went to the United Center and watched them put 42 points on Tony Parker's head. Bruce Bowen, Manu Ginobili, Tim Duncan, I was there. He's different. He was different. Hey, real fans know when badges and abilities started popping up in the game 2K. Y'all do know. Y'all do remember that was molded after D. Rose's playstyle, right? Acrobat. Finisher. Giant Slayer, One Man Fast Break, Teardropper. Yep. Y'all don't remember when these were, they, my bad, they were called signature skills in 2K13. 2 years later, they started calling them badges. I know what y'all, Marcus, you just saying anything right now. You being biased. Go check the film. Go look at those two. Go play 2K13 and you tell me what those animations look like. Who they resembled. Giant Slayer, Acrobat. Who was an acrobat at, who was finishing acrobatic layups like that in 2K in 2011 and 12? The impact on that Derrick Rose had wasn't just basketball. It was a mindset. It was what a Chicagoan is, how he or she operates. How when you get knocked down and you get back up. Do you all not remember that the man was out of the league? That there were 32 teams that didn't think he was an NBA basketball player. After his stint in Cleveland, got traded to the Utah Jazz and they released him. You know what, another thing that pisses me off about what Derrick Rose went through? We do remember that. We're talking about 2013, 2014, 2015. We're talking about peak Twitter. What does that mean? We're talking about the butt of everybody's jokes. Hey, everybody's mental health is messed up right now. The internet is so mean. We forgetting that he was one of the pioneers. One of the first punching bags for NBA Twitter jokes. For NBA memes. Remember he was the glass man? Remember they take a bottle of water and they pour it in a bucket and they go, oh, ability to finish at the rim and the water's flowing. Floater alert, the water's flowing. Injuries. Bloop. We're forgetting that he was one of the first people to get criticized. Do you know that the same stuff Kawhi Leonard said about wanting to be with his family and not wanting to have a limp when he retires, when Derrick Rose got vilified for that? It was ridiculous. He was in a gym in Cleveland shooting floaters, right-handed and left-handed, trying to get back in the league. And he didn't do the stuff y'all do today where you record yourselves and try to, hey, look at me helping out the community. No, it was somebody being nosy that was recording. Hey, is that Derrick Rose? Yes. A bunch of bumps who can't hold his jock strap in the league right now. But y'all got this man in a high school gym in the middle of Cleveland, Ohio, shooting floaters. It was a rough day for me. It's been a rough week. But you look at a guy like Derrick, and when a guy like Derrick is at peace, I guess I can be at peace as well. You know, I always wanted him to go, and after his stint with Detroit, he kind of revitalized his career, got a nice contract after that. He was still, hey, he's always gone somewhere and just been playing with a bunch of bums. He was out there with Markieff Morris and Langston Galloway. He's out there with Blake Griffin, and we're not talking about Lob City Blake Griffin. We're talking about when his knees were cooked after Lob City, when he missed most of the season. When D Rose was going out 9, 10, 11 straight games, 20 plus points. Nobody else out there with him. As a fan, as much as I wanted him to go to a contender and win a championship, I saw a guy who was genuinely excited to be back in the league and play the game he loves. I think you get to a point at your career where he rose to the top so fast, he didn't get to develop. He never hit his peak, his prime. And when you have so much success at an early age and all of it gets taken away at the blink of an eye, I think you're just appreciative and grateful. And you just live in the moment more. Don't worry about tomorrow. And that's what he did. I'm excited to follow Derek and see where his career goes now. I know he's big into chess. He's like this deep thinking, philosophical guy now. I'm excited to see his impact in people and in the city of Chicago, because you know he has something planned. Truly one of the pioneers. I know his numbers don't say he's a Hall of Famer, but I think his career achievements and impact, if Yao Ming can get into the NBA Hall of Fame because of his global impact, then Derrick Rose has to get into the Hall of Fame because of the impact he had on real ones. Moving along, Iowa Hawkeyes, they got the W last week in Minnesota, night game. They did what they were supposed to do, I guess. I've been a fan of the Iowa Hawkeyes since 2014, since I stepped foot on campus. And it's the same shit, just a different year. And I'm not falling for it. They beat the teams who they're supposed to beat. A good win. Caleb Johnson is looking like a running back you want to take in the first round of the NFL draft. 206 yards rushing, 21 carries, averaged close to 10 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns, had his longest run of 40 yards. Probably could have had more, but you know those Iowa running backs don't have top end speed. But he's balling right now. Cade McNamara is still pedestrian, but they're doing what they're supposed to do right now, and you can't ask of more. Caleb is balling right now. Right now, he's sitting at 685 yards in the season. He's only 4 games through, 82 carries, averaging 8.5 yards per carry, 9 touchdowns. I'm interested to see if they can keep this up. They play number 3 Ohio State in Ohio next Saturday. I think we all know how that's going. They play a tough Washington team that left the Pac-12? Either the Pac-12 or the Big 12. Now first year in the Big 10. Play Washington the following week after Ohio State. Then games Michigan State, Northwestern, Wisconsin. We know how those games are going to go. Tough, gritty. The Kirk Ferentz way. We'll see. I'll be here next week and the week after that to sound like a broken record. I'll be here at the end of the season to show you all how the mediocre season is going to play out. We're going to have 2 or 3 great prospects that are NFL bound, and we're going to be happy with that, and we're going to be satisfied and looking forward to another mediocre season in 2025. Wash, rinse, repeat. It is what it is at this point. Staying in football, though, have y'all seen my guy, JF2? Mr. Fields? Cam Hayward say, hey, let's play a game real quick. Chicago or Pittsburgh? He said coaching. He said Pittsburgh. Not even close. That man is balling. And I know some. The stats don't say he's balling. He's balling. He's doing what you're asking him to do. He's winning games. This past Sunday, the Steelers took on the Los Angeles Chargers, who at the time had the best defense in the NFL. My dog Justin finished 25 of 32, 245 passing yards, about 8 yards per play, threw a touchdown, threw an interception, took 2 sacks. He's doing what Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers are asking him to do. 1 turnover through 3 weeks, and the offense steadily looks better, looks more fluid, getting off to better starts, getting in the red zone, converting in the red zone. They're just going to continue to open up the playbook as time goes on. This week they play the Indianapolis Colts, road game, looking to go 4-0. Justin looks good, man. He had a 55-yard pass where he, look, Bears fans are going to hate this, where he threw an anticipation throw right between 3 defenders. Pass to Calvin Austin he took for 55 yards. He just looks comfortable. His teammates are reacting like he's QB1. You can hear the way they talk, and they believe Justin is their QB. It's only a matter of time before he figures it out. The game is slowing down. The Steelers are operating the offense in a way that benefits his skill set. And he's looking more and more comfortable. Big Ben thinks he's the guy. Hey, did anybody see the NFL mic'd up after he threw the 55-yard pass to Calvin Austin? Sideline, that's QB1. You're damn right it is. You're not bringing Russell back in right now. I do realize there's still an opportunity for Russ to come back if Justin doesn't stay consistent. But Mike Tomlin can smooth talk his way every week. Nothing has changed. We're going to operate as if Justin is still the QB1. When Russell gets back, we're going to evaluate both QBs and go from there. No, you're not. No, you are not. The team has spoken. The fans have spoken. His play has spoken. And until he starts to do things uncharacteristic, and until he starts to do things that put the Steelers and their record in harm's way, he's not going anywhere. Speaking of going anywhere, when are the Bears going to fire Matt Eberflus? I keep telling you all, coaching matters. We're going to talk about that a little later with Caitlin Clark. If you remember the first episode, I told you I thought she could have gotten to the second round. But what did I – coaching. Coaching matters. A lot of these coaches don't want to coach. That's the crazy part. A lot of these guys want to take a job where the team is stacked. They don't want to teach. They don't want to develop anybody. They want to come to a place, enforce their philosophy, and it's their way or no way. Now, I get it. You want to build a culture based off what you believe, what got you in the position to get that job. But you're not putting your players in a position to do their job. The Chicago Bears took another loss to the Indianapolis Colts. Lost 21-16. Caleb threw 52 times, 33 of 52, 363 yards, 7 yards per attempt, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, sacked 4 times for a total of 31 yards in loss, QBR 36.1. This isn't me shitting on Caleb, but Caleb should not be throwing 52 times. Right now, Justin Herbert isn't throwing 52 times. Patrick Mahomes isn't throwing 52 times. Josh Allen isn't throwing 52 times. Lamar Jackson isn't throwing 52 times. You know what happens when you throw 52 times? You throw two interceptions. You get sacked four times. And I don't blame it on Caleb. I blame it on that incompetent goofball in Shane Waldron. And I'm going to give him some time because we're through three games. And I don't want to be that guy that starts to jump out of the window, who starts to judge a team. But, there's only 17 weeks. There's only 17 games. And each game matters. I think the Bengals are going to figure it out. But starting off 0-3 isn't going to help their case to be positioned well in the playoffs this year. Can they still make it? Absolutely. Is the road a lot tougher being 0-3? You're damn right. I've said it from the beginning that Matt Eberflus should have been fired last year, before Justin's last year here in Chicago. Some guys are meant to be coordinators, and that's all right. Nothing wrong with it. But operating a defense and operating a team are two totally different things. We all should have been nervous as Bears fans when Jaxon Smith-Njigba did an interview this past offseason. And the guy was interviewing him. He said, "Hey, the Bears just signed your former offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. You had him this past year here in Seattle. How did you feel about him? What can the Chicago Bears fans expect?" And he smiled. He grinned. He said, "I think they should be excited. They have Caleb. They have DeAndre Swift. They have a lot of what." He didn't answer the question to tell you what should they expect from Shane Waldron. If you know me, you know I'm big on Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Want to talk about the route tree? He has it. A guy who should have finished with much better numbers than he did last year in Seattle. There's still time to figure it out. They told us we were going to be running the ball. I'm waiting to see that. I love Caleb. I want him to succeed. I want him to look like a franchise quarterback. But you have to gradually get there. You have to develop a run game before people respect the pass. And right now, we don't have either. I'm interested to see how they come out and look against the Rams. A depleted Rams team. A team without Cooper Kupp. A team without Puka Nacua. A team without Aaron Donald. A defense that just isn't as good as it's been. A very subpar defense. A very average defense. Looks like Keenan is back in practice. Rome's, they've gotten a couple of consecutive consistent days in practice. They're looking good to go this week. But I'm going to need to see it. I'm going to need to see Matt Eberflus get his thumb out his ass and coach the Chicago Bears. My guy Zacharias, my guy Brandon, KJ Hayes, all coming into town from Iowa and New York. We'll be watching that game live. Great seats. Great time. Looking forward to it. I'm going to be very upset if we don't win against a not so good Rams team. Against a very average defense. We'll see. Want to wrap this up with just a big shout out to Caitlin Clark. And her first year in the W. Just a straight dog. 19.2 points per game. 5.7 rebounds. 8.4 assists. 1.3 steals. played all 40 games, was blitzed the most this season versus any other player. She does it all. Best passer in the league. Sorry, Q. Love Chelsea Gray. Great passer. She's not on the level of Caitlin Clark. Hey, Q, when you hear this, I want you to tell me what Caitlin Clark would look like if she played with Asia Wilson. I think you're seeing a 4 to 5 point increase in every statistical category. It's very different. Today she was announced as Rookie of the Year of the WNBA. They had their exit interviews. A lot of garbage in the headlines. I know they're playing off this race thing. Sheryl Swoopes, Angel Reese. Not getting into it. Not talking about it. Don't care. Here to talk about basketball. Finally getting eyes on it. Let's talk about the product on the court. Not the BS. Not here for it. Do not care. She's only going to get better. Hey, if you're asking me, I think that's why all of this is going on. Because they need to kick her back in while she's down. Because when she gets this 8 month rest until next season, it's going to get ugly. When she works on that left hand, tighten up those handles, work on that floater, pulling up from the right hand instead of your left. She watches film. It's going to get ugly for you women on that court. I told you all I was excited for her this season in the playoffs. She still performed really well. Finished like 27 points, 9 assists in that last closeout game in the loss to the Connecticut Sun. Just if you watch that game, there's a difference between good players and good teams and teammates that look good because of great players. There was a clear difference in talent when you watch the Connecticut Sun and the Indiana Fever. There's a reason Caitlin was playing all 40 minutes. Why Aaliyah Boston was only out the game if she was in foul trouble. Why Kelsey Mitchell only got a minute or two of rest. There's a difference. Everybody's like, oh, Caitlin's... I believe Caitlin's great. But you have to put, just like any great team, you have to put pieces around that great piece. As great as she is, Michael Jordan needed Scottie Pippen. Michael Jordan needed Dennis Rodman, John Paxson, Steve Kerr. You gotta put players around your talent. And for next season, I think the first order of business is firing Christy Sides. I do not want to see Christy Sides running up and down that sideline not one more time. It's time. She's great for the transition of Caitlin into the league. A young, fun, energetic coach who wants to play defense. That's great for a rookie. But you have a developed, advanced rookie who's in win-now mode, who's not used to losing. We're not trying to grow together. We're trying to have an advanced coach, an advanced mind, challenge her to be better and be great. Put her in positions to win. Last-second shots, and when the game is close, do you know how many times I had to watch Christy Sides use Caitlin Clark as a decoy? Hey, Christy, you were down 2. Caitlin didn't touch the ball. What was your reasoning behind that? Well, we know she's going to get the main focus and everybody's going to be honed in on her, and that's going to open up good look. Everybody know we do not care. You know who the teams are trying to stop when they face Stephen Curry and they're down and they need a bucket. You know who the Warriors are going to? Stephen Curry. You know who the Lakers are going to? LeBron James. You know who the Phoenix Suns are going to? Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. This is not college. This is not a team that won 13 games last year. We're not using the best player on the floor as a decoy. We're going to live and die by our best player. Hell, we're going to at least put the ball in her hands to make a play. Let's say she does get the ball and they double team her. Now let her make the pass to get to the open team. We're not using her off a curl, a pin down curl, to have two go to her and have Lexi Hall or Aaliyah Boston shoot a three. We're not doing that this year. The Indiana Fever were down two. Caitlin Clark comes off a screen, off the left hand, pull up, smacks the three to put them up one. Do you know that the Indiana Fever went the next four possessions where she didn't touch the ball? That can't happen. And then you're down two, and you drew up a play. You have the audacity in the post game to say, we used her as a decoy that play. I've already gone on my rant about using her as a decoy. But at least put your best passer on the inbound. At least let her make the play. We're not using her as a decoy on the screen. Because what do? You don't put her in as the passer, and the person who passes her in the ball throws the ball out of bounds. A wasted possession. Just, no, man. The time to win is now, and you have to. That means the pieces around her, the players, the coaches, everyone. Kelsey Mitchell, who was a great number two this year, her backcourt mate, also averaged 19 points this year, was phenomenal. She had her exit interview today, actually, and they asked her about it, and she said, I don't know what the future holds for me. She said all the right things. I'm going to do what's best for me, as she should. Not knocking her on that. But, you know, I got the feeling that she won't be back. We'll revisit this convo when WNBA free agency starts. But I'm looking at the pool right now of unrestricted free agents. And if we lose Kelsey Mitchell, I'm not mad at the potential targets we could go after. Breonna Stewart, unrestricted free agent. I doubt she comes back, especially if they make the WNBA finals. Could see her re-signing back in with the Liberty. But it's still a thought. Maybe Breonna Stewart wants to play with Caitlin Clark. Alyssa Thomas, the Connecticut Sun, and Dawana Bonner, both forwards for the Connecticut Sun. They've been together. That core in Connecticut has been together now for 3-4 years. I don't think they're winning it this year. I don't think they're beating a Liberty or an Aces. Do they break that team up? Are those two targets you want to go after? I'd say so. I think Alyssa Thomas, as much as Fever fans hate her, I think Alyssa Thomas would be what Draymond is to Steph. Screens hard, runs the floor, an enforcer, not looking to take a shot, getting the ball back to her, looking to get her open, looking to set her up. I think if the Connecticut Sun can't win this year, I think Alyssa Thomas needs to be your first priority in this year's free agency. Kelsey Plum is another unrestricted free agent. No, she's another point guard, but I think she could play off ball. Think she's the same size as Kelsey. Does exactly what she does. If just in case you lose a player like Kelsey Mitchell, excuse me. Ariel Powers from Atlanta. Nice, big, strong two guard. Can shoot the ball well. Plays really good defense. And you talk about veteran presence. Biggs, Tina Charles, Nneka Ogumike, Natasha Howard, Gabby Williams, Those are some good forwards right there. Hell, Kennedy Carter is an unrestricted free agent. No, I'm not mad at it. I don't think she's as good of a shooter as Kelsey, but I think you can make it work. Diana Taurasi. Now, when I say Diana Taurasi, I do think she retires this year after this season. I think she's 22nd season, all with the Phoenix Mercury. I don't think she plays one more year to play with Caitlin. But the reason I like it, it's like the Derrick Rose signing for Ja Morant. Play the same way, come from the same environment. Play style, skill is very similar. I think Diana Taurasi would be a great mentor and a great leader for Caitlin. Don't think it would happen, but I wouldn't mind it. Right now, I would call it breaking news. As I'm recording this right now, Friday night, just got the notification from Shams that Karl Anthony Towns is getting traded to the Knicks. Whoa. Doesn't say for who right now. I'd assume for Julius, but I'm unsure. I like that for the Knicks. Not a big Julius Randle fan. Interested to see how, assuming it is Julius, if that works for the Timberwolves. Frees up a lot of cap space. Are they targeting somebody? That's intriguing. I wonder who else is. Do you swap Cat for Julius straight up? I think the money would match. I think Carl gets paid a little more, but I don't think it's too far off. I'm interested to see what that trade looks like. I do not like Julius with Ant. Those are two ball dominant players. That Cat needs the ball as well, but he can play off ball a lot better than Julius. Also think a pick and roll with Cat and Jalen Brunson is pretty nasty. Yep, so it's a trade. Karl Anthony Towns is going to the New York Knicks. Julius Randle, wow, along with Dante DiVincenzo. Now, I like that. Gives Ant-Man another shooter, space the floor, which was a big problem for them this year. They're a great defensive team. He plays defense, knockdown shooter. Now, I like that. I like Dante DiVincenzo better than I like Julius. I don't think that works, man. I don't like Julius and Ant. I wonder if there's another team involved or if there's another play here. But wow, Karl Anthony Towns heading to New York, the Big Apple. Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo headed to Minnesota. I'm excited for NBA season. Y'all know that's my specialty right there. It's been another great episode here. A lot happening this weekend. I'm excited to get back and talk to you guys next week after this weekend's festivities. Always want you all to remember. Go Bulls. Go Bears. Go Sox. It's wintertime. Go Blackhawks. And always, always, fuck the Cubs.